Hello, friends, and welcome to our Bible study today. We're going to be studying from Hebrews 11, one of the great chapters of the New Testament, and especially one of the great chapters of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, it has often been called the Hebrew Hall of Fame, and certainly there's a number of names here that are listed that are truly remarkable and amazing people as they believed in God and as they obeyed God. It's a chapter about faith, and that's how it begins and that's how it ends. In verse 1 of chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now that's what faith is. That's how it begins. It begins by telling us that faith has substance. And faith is based upon evidence. It is not a leap in the dark. You're not just saying, well, I just choose to believe this. No, there's evidence involved in it. And so you're believing in God. You're trusting in God. You have confidence in God. That's what our faith is. Of course, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Now, that's what faith is. Faith has substance, and faith has evidence. It's based upon evidence of things not seen. Nobody has seen God at any time, but all the people in Hebrews chapter 11 believed in God. Furthermore, in chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "For by it," that is faith, "the elders obtained a good report." Now, they obtained a good report from God. And God is favorable toward them because of their faith. They heard what God said. They believed what God said. And that's how they obeyed what God said. That's why they received a good report. Verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And so in Genesis 1, it says that God made the heavens and the earth. We believe that. And it's not based upon no evidence. There's evidence, such as the design argument. It says if there is design, there must be a designer. And when you look at the earth and the moon and the sun, they all have design. Their design is a sphere. No sphere happens by explosions. The evolutionist says there was a great explosion and there appeared the earth and moon, sun. But that's not how you make spheres. You make them because they're created. Someone makes them. There's the design. And so that implies a designer. And of course, the designer is God. And so we understand the worlds were made. God said, "I've done it." And it is evidenced by the design. And furthermore, it says in verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." That was a witness to the fact that he was righteous. He heard what God said about a sacrifice. He obeyed what God said about the sacrifice. And that is the way he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. God is the witness of his gifts. "And by it being dead yet speaketh." So Cain didn't offer a gift by faith. He did something else. He did what he thought was right. Cain was one of the first modernists to ever live on the earth. A modernist is someone who doesn't do it God's way. He does it his own way. Verse 5, "By faith, Enoch was translated." That word literally means he was removed. He was removed from the earth. Enoch was translated in that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. God removed him. Well, why did God do that? For before his translation, before he was moved, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He did something to please God. Abel did something to please God. Abel obeyed God. Faith, the approved faith of God, is a faith that obeys. And so he was translated. He had a reward. The reward was he didn't see death. Abel's reward was he was witnessed to be righteous. So verse 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If we wish to please God, we must have faith. What does that mean? We believe in God. We believe that he is. What else do we believe? We believe he rewards us if we diligently seek him. And that was Enoch and that was Abel. God rewarded them. He gave Enoch a home in heaven. He translated him. He gave Abel a good report. And furthermore, in verse 7, God saved Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, nobody had seen a flood. It hadn't even rained before. But Noah believed what God said. God said it was going to rain. God said there was going to come a flood. And so what did Noah do? He built the ark as God has instructed. That's faith. You hear what God says, and then you do what God says. Noah didn't say, "Now this is going to take too long. This is going to be too hard for just our family." No, he did what God said. He built the ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir. We're going to read a little bit more about what God's prepared for those people and for us. But then it goes on and says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed." God said, "Get out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Get away from your family. Get away from your kinfolks. Get away from your father." What did Abraham do? He obeyed. Faith is active. Noah prepared an ark. That was action. Enoch walked with God. That was action. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. These are all shows action to obey what God had said to do. And so Abraham obeyed, went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was supposed to be going. He'd never been there before. But he obeyed anyway. That's what faith does. Faith believes what God says and then obeys what God says. You build an ark, even though you've never seen it rain, you've never seen a flood. You leave your home country. You go to another place to live, even though you haven't seen that country. It says, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. You know, we can't see heaven, can we? It's the same for us. We believe in heaven, and I hope you believe in hell, and we believe hell is a bad, painful place. We don't want to go there. We believe heaven is just the opposite. It's a wonderful place, and we want to go there. How do we believe in that? You believe by faith. You hear what the Bible says, and you believe what the Bible says. The Bible is our evidence of these things. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The promise that God would make a great nation from their offspring. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. What they look for is the same thing we're looking for. We're looking for new Zion. We're looking for the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth. And it goes on to say in Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She said, God's telling me the truth. And so Abraham and I are going to do what it takes to get pregnant. And she did that, and she had a child. God's word is sure. God saved Noah. God translated Enoch. God did what he said he was going to do. That's why we believe in God. God's record is proven. He has a proven record. And so, because they believed in God and they had this child, Hebrews 11 and 12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham. He was 100 years old. He wasn't able to have children at that age, but God caused it. And there sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore. It seemed impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child, but anything's possible with God. And so they believed in him. And just as God had promised, a nation arose from that one child that they had named Isaac. Reading on in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham died before the great nation actually came into being, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. That's what we want to be. We want to be persuaded and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we need to confess. We're strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. This is not our permanent home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're like Abraham and those of that day. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if they thought that was it, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We read about that city in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. We believe Revelation 21 and 22. We believe it's talking about our future home. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. God had promised him a son, and then God told him to destroy his son, to offer him as a sacrifice. You know, that probably was kind of confusing to some degree to Abraham, but he went ahead and offered him anyway. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's what you were waiting for, your son. And so it says, according as God was able to, 18, of whom it was said that Isaac shall be called, thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so he was going to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. He was going to slay him because he thought God would raise him up. But God stopped Abraham's hand. And instead of Isaac, there was a ram caught in a bush. And Abraham offered that ram, which was in place for Isaac, which Jesus was the Lamb of God that was offered as a sacrifice in our place. That's a beautiful plan of God. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, because God had told them things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of the staff. They believed in God. They trust in God. That's what faith is all about. And so, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And so they weren't going to kill that child, even though the king said to destroy all the male children. They would not do that. And because they feared God more, God blessed them richly. Not only was Moses' life spared, but Moses' own mother became his maid, or his nanny. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had been taught by his mother, and so he wasn't going to become an Egyptian. He was going to remain true to God's people, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Would you choose to suffer affliction, or would you choose to live in a palace? Moses chose the harder, the more difficult. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And here's why. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm serving God because God's going to reward me. I'm not going to get a reward from God if I just stay an Egyptian. I want to serve God, and that's what he did. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so, you know, at that burning bush, Moses saw the power of God. He heard the voice of God. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So when God said to kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost so that your firstborn won't die, they did what God said. That's faith. That's faith. That's what this chapter is talking about. All of these people paid tribute to God, obeyed God, worshiped God, served God. That's what faith does. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. And because they went through the Red Sea as God instructed them to, their enemy was destroyed. They were drowned. And that happened by faith. They obeyed God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here's further instruction on what faith does. Faith goes around a city. If God says, well, march around that city one time for 7 days, and on the seventh day, go around it 7 times, blow the trumpet, and the walls will come down. That's what they did. It didn't seem rational that the walls would come down, but they did. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. What a great man of faith he was. And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? He wouldn't stop praying to God. Therefore, God protected him in the lion's den. Faith is something that is strong, and it causes us, when we have the proper faith, we will obey God, whatever his word says, and we won't be afraid of lions. We won't be afraid of fiery furnaces. We won't be afraid of threatening enemies. We won't be afraid of giants. David wasn't afraid of a giant. When faith is strong, we can overcome anything. We are more than victors. Verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. Wax valiant to fight. Turn the flight of armies of the aliens. He just mentioned Gideon and how Gideon, with 300 men, defeated an army of greater, much greater numbers. How did he do that? By faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember Elijah? He did raise that woman's son. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And so many people just went ahead and died for the Lord because of their strength, of their faith, their belief in God. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. You know, you and I have a pretty easy life serving the Lord. Can you imagine us living back in those days when they were scourged, they were beaten publicly? They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. We think we've got it bad. Those folks make us look like little tiny weaklings because we whine about the weather. They suffer greatly. Then it says in verse 38 of Hebrews 11, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Remember David hid in a cave when Saul was searching for him, hunting for him, wanted to kill him. All these having obtained a good report through faith, a good report from God, they received not the promise. The promise of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life that we have now, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They lived under an inferior law. We now have the perfect law of Christ, and that's what the book of Hebrews is actually addressing. Don't serve an inferior law. Serve the law that Jesus Christ has delivered unto us. Be under a better covenant. Be under a better high priest. And those people back then, they suffered. It was an ancient time. People were cruel. They're cruel today, no question about that. But Hebrews 11, what a great chapter. A chapter about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. These people weren't just jumping off out in the dark. They knew there was a God. They knew there was a city. They searched for a city which hath foundations, whose builder is maker is God. That's what we're doing. We're doing the same thing today. We're serving God because we believe a judgment day is coming. We serve God because we believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. How do we believe that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible is the evidence. And furthermore, there's evidence that there is a God. We mentioned the spherical shapes of the earth and moon and sun. That's evidence of God. The Bible is evidence of God. And what the Bible says is true. And so we're living by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we're trusting in God. Trust God. That's really the message of the Bible. Trust God. Believe God. Obey God. Do His will, and in the end you will be rewarded. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that we have said something to cause you to better understand the book of Hebrews and the subject of faith. It is a great subject. It is a beautiful subject. It's a subject necessary to please God, faith. We hope you'll have a stronger faith and realize that your faith will be rewarded in the end. God bless you who are listening today. God bless you that you'll read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and realize what it takes to be pleasing unto God. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. If you're ever in our area, please come by and visit with us. Have a wonderful day. May God continue to bless you.